Good morning, New Heights. How are you feeling today? I'll wait till you wake up. Good morning, New Heights. How are you feeling today? All right. Thank you. It is my honor and my privilege to be with you this morning. If you remember me, James Hawkins, one of the counselors at the Joshua Center, and it's a privilege to really be with you today as we're going to be talking about a subject that is very personal to me in my own life, but so important to me as I sit with people who are hurting and suffering. And when you think about people that are hurting and suffering, it's not just people who are outside the body of Christ. I'm talking about people from within the body of Christ. And today's topic is personal to me because I believe that the God of heaven and earth, the God of all peace that transcends all understanding, wants to make you and me whole as we come to connection with him. But what does that mean? So I want to give you a picture of what does it mean to be made whole in connection with God. So here's a little video I want to show you that I hope that we all, as children of God, can learn to live out. There's so many things I know I could learn from that kid besides having a good head of hair. But what I love about that picture, here's the innocence of a child. In a moment when the child gets scared, that child knows, I need connection. In the moment I have fear, in the moment when things confront me, I don't need to stand in the middle of this hallway alone. I have a place I can go to get comfort. Why do I, as a grown adult, someone with a PhD in counseling, why do I still sometimes, in my times of fear and struggle, isolate myself instead of running to the God of all peace? Well, let's talk today. And there's a couple key points that I want to make clear to you now and that we're going to follow as we go on through this. One is, I want you to recognize that in these passages we're going to study, that God wants us to be aware of our heart and mind. Because if you are disconnected from your heart and your mind, in other words, your emotions and your thoughts, which I know sometimes Christianity, we struggle with the role of emotions, but let me make a statement. God gave you your emotions as a way to turn and connect with him. By cutting yourself off from those signals of your heart, you also cut off one of the sacred pathways that God has given you to connect with him. But I get it. If I'm in fear and I don't know where to go with it, then what's the best way I to protect myself? Shut it off. But the answer to that is, I love that you turned those on. I felt disconnected. I wasn't going to say anything from the front. But anyway, I should ask for what I need. I know. Turn to God with your heart and your mind, your full self. Turn to him. Another point I think is we need to surround ourselves with others who exemplify a life of walking in God's peace. And the fourth important point, I can stop right after I give you these points and let you figure it out yourself, but I want you to really catch this one. The God of peace wants to be in connection with you and me. Let me pause on that one. Because I said it, but I know I'll admit it, I don't always believe it. Can I just confess that? Sorry. You can tell the elders to remove me. I'm just confessing my struggle. But could you just take a moment? I want you to repeat that line even in your own heart. The God of peace wants to be in connection with me. The God of peace wants to be in connection with me. As you say that, I wonder what begins to happen in your own soul, in your own body as you say that. Some of you may have felt a calming and a peace. Some of you may have felt some anxiousness because there's a part of you that doesn't believe it because of shame, because of pain, or just maybe it's just because, like, why would God want me? So I want to go real quick over just what Lee shared last week, because it really ties into what we talk about today. And Lee talked in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, and it reads this way. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Quick breakdown of those main points from that tie into today. First, it says, don't be anxious about anything. And when you think about that word anxious, it goes back to a Greek word that says mir imnao, which means do not be distracted, do not ruminate, and don't be divided or separated. That's literally what it's saying when it says don't be anxious. In other words, don't be fragmented in your mind. Don't be isolated or separated from connection with your own self or with God and others. Because here's a point. You can't stop feelings, but you are in control of what you do with them. The key is to not let yourself be divided within your own heart or mind, or divided from relationship with God and others. All right, that sounds great, James. So what, I'm just gonna feel things, I'm gonna get overwhelmed by them. What should I do with it? What was he talking about there last week? And I think Lee brought this point out. Paul doesn't just say this and just walk on, because if we know in Philippians earlier, he just said what? I was anxious for one of his brothers that was ill. But the problem is we shouldn't be divided or separated. So what should we do when we get anxious? He goes on. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's the actionable point of that verse. In other words, you should be able to share with God what you are experiencing and what you need, and be able to do it with a heart of thankfulness because of who God is, even in the midst of your worry. I'm getting some looks. Are you with me still? Because you need to take that in. You are not the victim of just your anxiousness. Your anxiousness actually becomes an opportunity for you to be able to turn to God and get his peace, his that surpasses all understanding. And then he goes on and he says this, and be in the peace of God, which transcends all your understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Just like that little boy with the dog, that little boy expected, I'm scared, I don't need to stay right here. I need to go run to something where there's safety that can protect me from the thing that I fear. In other words, can we as children embody that same thing, that the God of peace, and when it says peace here, God gives you peace. There's this Greek word, eirene, but it goes back to the Hebrew word shalom. And when you look at that word shalom, it means completeness, wholeness, prosperity. Do you get how this verse fits together? Don't be divided or separated. Go to the God who will make you whole, that will make you complete. Don't stay in your broken state. Turn to God with that broken place. Let him know what you're experiencing and ask him for what you need from that broken place. And he comes to that broken place where you are and he makes you whole. Whole. But then Paul goes on into the text we're really supposed to be in today. And he had Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or perceived or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Can we make some powerful declarations on these two passages today? And I'm gonna put them up here on the screen. There's three things I want us to be able to say within our own hearts. I have the power and privilege to go to God when I feel anxious. You, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, you have the power and privilege to go to God when you feel anxious. Can you take that in for a moment? Just like that boy knew, this is my house, that's my dog, I have the power and privilege to run to him when I feel afraid. You as a child have the same privilege with your heavenly Father. Also, I have the power to choose what my mind dwells on. You have the power to be able to say, what are the thoughts? What are the things that are influencing me? What's guiding me? What's going on? I can direct my mind. So even in this verse where Paul says you run to God, you have to make that choice what you do with your emotions and with your thoughts. You have that power. Also, you have the power and privilege of getting guidance from others who are also seeking God's peace. Because Paul says, what you have learned and seen and heard from me, put it into practice. We are surrounded by other people. Do you surround yourself with other people who are pursuing God's peace? If you're not, then who are you surrounding yourself with? What are they influencing you to do and what to believe and what to think? So I'm a counseling nerd, y'all know this. And so there's a graph coming up. And in this research study, this guy named Dennis Prophet did this research where he would take people's blood glucose level back at the lab. He would take them out to the base of this hill, and he would tell them, you're going to have to run up this hill. I'm going to put a backpack on your back. You're going to have to go up this hill. He would then say, now I need you to estimate how tall, what's the slant of the hill, and I need you to be able to do it in 90 seconds. Ready, set, hold on a second. Let me take your blood glucose again. Then he would say, okay, you're going to do this hill. Some participants, sometimes different participants. He would say, you're going to go up this hill, but I'm going to send someone up with you. He'd have a friend get ready to go up the hill with him. You want to know what he found from this research? When we are by ourselves and have to face a challenge, we overestimate the size of the challenge, and our bodies burn up to 6 times more glucose to do the task. What is that saying? We are not built to do things, face hard things alone. But when he brought the friend in, it's burned 6 times less, and they underestimated. In other words, I'm not by myself. I've got other resources outside of me to do this particular hardship. But here's another one. He went one step further. Instead of bringing in a person, he said, all I want you to do is think about who you would have go up that hill with you. And their body still responded the same way. It would calm itself, and they would still underestimate the size of a hill. Why is that important for us as believers? God is an ever-present help in your time of need. All you have to even do is turn your mind and your heart to him, and your body will respond. I didn't tell you your circumstance would change. You didn't hear that. That's not the gospel I preached to you. I didn't tell you everything goes away, all your problems go away, but your body recognizes, I'm not by myself. The God of peace is with me. And I can do this because he's with me and I'm not by myself. Can you take that in for a moment? Can you think about a moment that you might be facing right now where you need to picture God with you? What does it feel like to picture, to face that moment alone? What does it feel like to picture God being with you in that moment? Two different worlds. Two different worlds. So those of you know me, in almost every service I do, I always go back to where? The book of Genesis. Because I think there's something we learn in the book of Genesis. We learned about the world that God, he wanted us to live in. We learned about how that world messed up. And then we learn about how God is in the plan of restoring that through his son, Jesus Christ, as we go on into the Gospels. So I'm going to do a quick walk through Genesis. You've heard me do this every time I've done a family Sunday. So y'all know how to take this ride with me, right? You with me, New Heights? There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Y'all remember you can talk to me. Thank you. So Genesis 2:23, the man, this is when God brings man and woman together. And Adam recognizes his wife. This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Why? Because she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother, is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And I love this line, especially in the marriage counseling world, but it's really for all of us. And Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. In other words, there was nothing between them and hiding themselves from God or hiding themselves in connection with each other. There was nothing that separated them. There was no brokenness. There was no fragmentation. They lived in shalom. But then we move on into Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. We see Satan show up, and Satan is crafty. He comes in, and he says, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. And then Satan comes back. you will not certainly die. Deception comes in. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will what? Be like God. Y'all should know by now with me, we already know that's a problem. Because when Adam and Eve, how were they created already? In the image of God. So what he did with Eve in that moment, not only did he not talk to Adam and Eve, he pulls Eve away out into isolation. He isolates her from her spouse, but then he also isolates her from God, and he then makes her what? Feel inadequate within of herself. He deceives her on the word of God. And then she looks at it and she says, you know what? Something is wrong with me. I've got to take care of it by myself. So she took and she ate. And then we see going on further down in Genesis 3, 7 and 8, that what happens to them after they do this, the eyes of both of them were open, they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. So we go from Genesis 2:25, they were naked and had no shame. All of a sudden, they recognize, I messed up. And what do? They hide. In other words, they fragment themselves. They divide. They separate. And even when God shows up and comes, what do? They run. They hide instead of turning to God of peace. But I love what God does in verse 9. But the Lord God called to man, where are you? Even in your moments when you're running, I know this is more hard. I hope we can take this in. I believe that God pursues us. God pursues after us because he knows that what he has to give to us is greater than the ways we try to protect ourselves. God knows that the things he has to give us are greater than the ways we try to protect ourselves when we're in fear. And so they go on, we heard you were walking in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And God recognizes something else is influencing you. So he says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to? What other outside influence is influencing your mind and your thoughts about yourself, Adam? Who told you this? Guard your heart and mind. And then, of course, Adam can't turn to God and, like, repent in this place. So what does he do? Is there every guy in an argument sometimes, the woman you gave me, right? Guys are like, that's not funny. I only heard ladies laugh at that joke, but it's okay. But then even Eve can't turn. And she says, the serpent deceived me and I ate. But, you know, that's not where we get stuck at. I'm glad that God sent his son, the son of man, the son of God, comes to earth and he shows us a life of connecting with God, even in hardship. So Jesus is our model for turning to God. Going on to Matthew 26, verses 36 through 38. And we see this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we see Jesus do some important things. So let's look at it. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. Jesus, son of God, son of man, know why he came to the earth. Even in his moment of distress, he seeks connection with God in prayer, and with people. So if Jesus needs to do it, how much more do I need to do this in my times of distress and despair and of anxiousness? And I love when you jump over to the book of Luke, Luke adds another detail that wasn't included in Matthew. In this moment, he says, and an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like the drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. And even Jesus is still, why are you sleeping? I need you. I don't want to be alone here. I need you. Jesus, son of God, son of man, even in this moment, an angel came and ministered to him in his despair, but he still felt the despair, but the angel said it strengthened him. But he still wanted connection. Jumping back into Matthew 26, now going on to 39, I love how Jesus did this part two still, just showing his humanity, right? Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." In other words, God, I know what I'm feeling. I know what I'm experiencing. I'm going to turn to you with prayer and supplication and make my request known to you, but I still got to be grounded in truth. And so the truth I'm going to ground myself in is your will. Your will is going to guide my thoughts and my actions here, God. So we have an example that while we might have been created for it, we fell from it, Jesus shows us how to be restored within it. So turning to God, a peace and a guard for our hearts and our minds. Jumping back into our Philippians text, Philippians verse 4, Paul says it, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about," or in some translations it would say, "dwell on such things." Turn your soul to such things. So let's look at each one of these. Tuning, and I want to even say this, I believe in this passage what he's pointing to is tuning your mind. You know, I just got into biking. A few of the people in New Heights, they talked me into it. I'm into it. I'm totally into it. I tried to go hop on my bike one day and go riding. They had warned me at the bike shop. They said, you know, when you get your bike, the cords are going to pull. They're going to get a little out of sync. That's just what new bikes do. But don't worry. Bring it back to us and we'll tune your bike in. One day I go out to Lake Fayetteville. I'm ready to ride. I'm trying to flip my gears and the chain just keeps jumping and bobbling. I can't get any traction to get going. Uh-oh. They warned me my bike was going to get out of tune. Just bring it back in. I take my bike over to them. I'm sad because I can't ride that day. I go take my bike in. The guy who knows how to work on bikes, he throws it up on the stand, starts cranking the pedal around. He starts flipping the gears, starts turning something on the back, and all of a sudden, my chain just starts jumping through the gears. Click, 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 click. He says, "Can I take it for a test drive?" He goes and flies out in the parking lot, flipping the gears. Click, 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 click. In other words, what is this passage telling us today here? There are times in life where you're going to go through hard things, but you need to tune your mind. Your gears are going to get off. Your cords are going to get stretched by the pressures of life, but you can go back to God, and he's the expert bike tuner. Click, 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 click. If you don't ride bikes, you might not like that much, but I know there's a few people out there that are really happy right now about that metaphor. He says, what is true? Is it real? Is it factual? Is it worthy of credit? Is it noble? Is it something that is honorable? Is it right? Is this thing I'm thinking, is it even holy? This thing, is it pure? Is it really a clean thought? Is there impurity in this thought? Because sometimes we can think the things we think are always right and true. But let me tell you, not all of your thoughts are pure. You need to check your thoughts, right? Lovely, is it from a point of love? Is it based on phileo? That's really the word here, the Greek word is phileo, brotherly love. Is the things I'm thinking about leading me to love others? Is it admirable? Is it reputable, right? Is it excellent? Is there any virtuous character in what I'm thinking or entertaining in my mind? Is it praiseworthy? I like to think about this one. Can I allow my thoughts to be projected onto a screen and would I be proud of what's hanging out there on the screen? Probably not all the time, right? But that's why I need to tune my mind. Now, I'm going to show you two slides that I think are really important to us in this cultural moment we live in today. As I was sitting here on this passage, I want to think about what's going on in our world today. And so I believe what God in this moment, there's so much going on in politics, things that are going on in culture, social media, and we all have, our CR pastors would love this, we all have our hurts, habits, and hangups. And the key in all of these things is, as we experience those things, do we run those things through the tune-up of making sure, are they in tune with what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is excellent or praiseworthy? And when I keep allowing to filter these things through that place, it doesn't mean that they're all bad, but what it does is God takes all of those things, and he brings me back into a place where my heart and my mind is continually being made whole in connection with God and with the people of God. Can I show you the next slide? Because this slide is what I fear many good Christians are doing and many people in culture are doing. They're taking what's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, and trying to filter that through, well, but this is my political view. Oh, no, wait, this is what culture tells me. Oh, no, but wait, this is what social media, this is what the social media influencer told me. Oh, but wait, but I've experienced this, so based on my experience, I'm going to determine what's true and what's right. Based on my own fears, I'm going to determine what's true, right, noble, and praiseworthy. But the problem, if we follow it that way, our heart and minds will always be fragmented and unable to find peace outside of connection with God. In other words, politics, culture, social media, and pain are not a good way to tune my gears. I hear some quiet. Maybe we're all contemplating on that one. But you say, but once again, that's a hard thing. But here's the beauty. I love how Paul goes on. We exist in community, and we can look to the examples of others who are looking to, who are also seeking God's peace. Paul goes on in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That's a pretty bold statement for Paul to say. Whatever you have seen or learned or heard in me, from me, put it into practice. But I love what Paul is saying. Not only am I trying to turn you to God, but even as you're trying to do that, while you're still here on earth, you still need the examples of other people who are pursuing that relationship. You need to know that you're not alone in this striving, in this yearning, and in this longing of your heart. We have other people that we can also look to as examples of people who are also pursuing the peace of God. So here's the question for us today. Am I listening to and following others, catch this point, who are pursuing God's peace? Am I listening to and following others? So here's the part. You ready for this contextual moment? That person that you go to for authority on certain worldviews, is their life tuned to pursuing God's peace? If not, you might be able to get some good nuggets for them, but they might not be a person you actually need to base everything about your views of the world on. I can tell you, Twitter definitely ain't the place. Facebook ain't the place. And Instagram, everybody's just trying to flex for the summer. So, am I listening to and following others who are pursuing God's peace? So I'm a person, I need visual aid sometimes. So I just like, God, help me see how all of this links together. And the worship team, y'all can go ahead and come on up. I want my, how does all of this link together? So in the middle cog here, and this is gonna advance here, there we go. In the middle cog is like this place. The center of my life needs to be me reaching out and pursuing and turning to God. And then as I reach out and turn to God, I also need to be attuned to what am I feeling? What's going on in my own heart? What are the things I'm thinking about? Do I live in connection? Are my actions the way I live? In the moments of trial and adversity, the way I act in those moments, it shows what I believe. So if I'm that little baby in the hallway and my moment of fear comes up, do I really trust that the God of peace wants to be connected to me, that wants to know me, that he can give me a peace that surpasses all understanding? Or I'm gonna confess, many times in my life I'll tell the truth, I live like James is on his own, and James has to come up with the answer for himself, because sometimes James doesn't believe that God or other people will be there for him. And I'll tell you right there, when you start making decisions from that place, it's a bad day. It's a really bad day. It's a lot of bad decisions when you make your decisions from that place of isolation, shame, fear. Unless the decision you make in that place is, I don't need to be alone here. I need to turn to the God of peace. So can I remind us of our key points again? I believe this is fundamental to the Christian life. So I'm gonna say this, this is the counselor here, you ready? You need to be aware of your heart and mind. When you cut yourself off from your emotions, you are cutting yourself off from one of the sacred pathways. Because remember, who built you? Did he give you your emotions then? No, you're gonna answer that question. Did he give you your emotions? Yes. So in other words, I believe that when God built you, he knew what he was doing in order for you to connect and live in life with him. Now, I will say, Satan, we saw it here. he comes in and tries to manipulate what God has created for our good, to harm us with it. But I don't want you as Christians anymore cutting yourself off your mouth. Don't feel it. I'm not supposed to. Don't get angry. Don't worry. That is not true. In your anxiousness, don't be divided. Turn to the God of peace, who will give you his peace that surpasses all understanding. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is noble, whatever is true, God, don't let me get in my own crazy thinking. Guide my heart and mind. Tune it to what is true so that I can click through the gears of life that you have given me. Turn to him. Surround yourself with others. You know, don't try and think so many times, I've got to figure it out. I can't let people see this place in me. I'm afraid if they see this part of me. Let me help you out. Well, this is one thing I love about CR. All y'all sitting in here, me included, everybody up here, has hurts, habits, and hangups. Everybody does. The people I trust who they can admit those hurts, habits, and hangups, and they are able to say, but this is how I turn to God with them. And this is what I've experienced in that place of pain, how the God of peace came and transcended all of my understanding. And this is another truth I want you to take in. The God of peace wants to be in connection with you and me. Can you do something for me for a moment? Let's read that one together. Can you say that out loud? The God of peace wants to be in connection with you and me. One more time. The God of connection wants to be, oh, sorry, I messed that one up. He is the God of connection, by the way. He's better than Verizon and AT&T. He's never dropped a call. But anyway, y'all like that was dope. I worked that one in there. Anyway, but the God of peace wants to be in connection with you and me. So can we just take a moment, and as the team, worship team plays, I just want to take you through a moment and just want to take you through a time to let you experience this for a moment. So just kind of still your heart and mind right where you are. And I want to also say this before we close. Here's an action point for you. Kevin Rusak and Mick Colanani are doing a great job of putting together some equipped classes about doing life with God, experiencing God. Please talk to Mick, talk to Kevin. Look on the New Heights website. I'm telling you, I went to it last Saturday and there's a room of people at the venue. It was so refreshing to go into a time of prayer just to go through a guided practice of turning to God. And I want to encourage you to be a part of that as well. But right where you are right now, can you think about what's going on in your own life? Things that maybe you're facing that maybe feel overwhelming. It might be anxious. You might be unsure. God might be calling you out into the great unknown. Maybe you're about to have a new child. And you might have thoughts or concerns. Can you just take a moment and feel like all of those things are like a hill that you have to climb, and they're like a backpack on your back. Could you picture Jesus himself coming alongside you? The Son of Man, who knew about facing adversity, who was overwhelmed. Jesus himself, who said, God, this is overwhelming for me. And if it's possible, God, could you take this thing from me? But if not, let your will be done. Did you picture that Jesus coming beside you right now? Look into his face. He's right there beside you. What does it feel like as you picture him? Maybe for a moment, and if you can, he reaches out and says, I'm here with you. I want to take this hill with you. I want to carry this load. Body begin to feel something different there as Jesus joins you in that place. It might not. Maybe something in that moment, maybe something came up in your spirit. Maybe it's a past trauma you went through. Maybe it's something that happened in the church where you were hurt. Maybe it's some sin or shame that you carry in your soul that blocked you from being able to turn to Jesus in that place. Our prayer team. And maybe you need to talk and pray with one of our prayer team members about what that thing is, that block that came up that kept you from being able to turn to Jesus or take in that Jesus would want to be there with you. Maybe even as you pray, like, Jesus is there with me, but the load is still heavy, and I feel like Jesus is calling me to talk to someone and pray with someone. Maybe you need some mentorship. Maybe you need some guidance in your own life. Maybe you need to go see a counselor. I know some good counselors at the Joshua Center. No shameless plug there. But seriously, maybe you just need to turn to your life group. Maybe you need to turn to your spouse and have some hard conversations. Maybe you're a child in here and you need to talk to your parents about something that you've been weighing on your heart that you felt too ashamed to talk about. Felt too scared to talk about it with your parents. I want to pray over us. God, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we as your children get to run to you. We get to run to you and turn to you with our hearts and our minds open to live vulnerably before you. That you are the God of all peace. That you don't want us to be divided or separated. But you want us to turn to you with prayer and supplication, make our request known to you. And your word said today that the God of peace will be with us, and that you will give us your peace that surpasses all understanding. And finally, God, help us to direct our minds and to dwell on those things that are true, noble, honorable, lovely, praiseworthy, excellent, of good report. Show us where those things are in our life that we need to remove, that we've maybe made idols in our life, that we filter our views through, our thoughts and our minds through that are not of you, Lord. God, we thank you that you are the God of peace. He wants to be with you.